Just read slowly. That's your only requirement.
Yeah.
Very well.
I require you. That actually got on tape right there. I just turned it on before you said that. So. Okay. What are we doing here? Chapter 2. What's the...
Oh.
There you can go.
Halloween. You, me, drink.
Perfect. Okay. Go whenever you like.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Is it recording?
Yes.
I'm just making this more awkward.
No,
everyone. Great. Are you listening? I screamed, holding up a placard that said, Dresden is inside all of us. I've been listening for 10 minutes now, Liv responded. When do I get to pull out all of your teeth? Yeah, you wish. I'm going to be a woman any second now. It's all part of my plan. Then I took my placard and started raining salt down on it. And Rain and Liv screamed like airline passengers about to slam into the Twin Towers. Oh, God. Oh, ho! The Twin Towers phase you just narrated. Liv extended her hand to shake, and I kissed it. That was putrid. I know it. Aren't I absolutely fabulous? I looked back at the narrative, at that sentence, and the horror that I felt almost lobotomized me. It was putrid. It was putridlicious. It was gruesome and heartless and putrid. It pointed to humanity. I had been thinking way too much lately, and consequently I was seeing the world especially clearly. I was seeing torsos, the torsos of airplane parts. It was a revolting and pedagogical experience, and the mescaline I'd ingested, mixed with acetate and maize, wasn't helping. A little lemur on my shoulder was telling me that death was easy, that it just hurts like a bitch. Mucus, mascara, and gunny sacks, until there's just enormous putridity. I quickly calculated how many hours I'd spent mulling over all of this nonsense, and I came up with 2 lumps of sugar. It was clear, the mental side of me that needed to invest in real estate. What is that? Raina had been kissing Liv's hand, and you could have peeled that cold goo from the air. It was so awe-inspiring. And that is Scott, please. And she started waving her hands in the air like she just didn't care. That's so jaded. Who died and gave you their vocabulary, I asked. Alex Trebek? My freaking god, this little girl was scary. Her mascara made her look like a wolf had taken a ladder to her face, Jackie Chan style. Nice. There was a herd of wolves in our yard the other day. This could explain Raina's appearance, until the coroner gives his final verdict. I'm standing by it. I had been attacked by these same wolves, it's true, but I had been teaching them how to love each other. It's just a phase she's going through. Liv didn't have an unbroken bone in her body. You know she's on her way to already having been a dumbass. I knew. I just couldn't get over the mascara. And wait, what fucking 6-year-old wears mascara? Derek's gonna have his posse out in force, and I gotta get up all in that bastard's force. Ugh, face. And that's gonna take more than Alec Trebek's vocabulary. It's gonna take the entire collected vocabularies of the cast of the Fawlty Towers. Liv was about to faint, and I opened the door for air. Whoa! What are you doing? We need air in here like we need termites eating even more holes in my plan. She turned around and suddenly had an umbrella in her hand and was threatening me with it. I'm going to your umbrella, your ass, and then I'm going home. That's all you need to know. Wait a second, look. And as fast as she fell for that old ploy, that's how fast I slapped her upside the head and snatched the umbrella from her hand. Look! A tomato that has Cossacks, I screamed. I have parakeet ringtones. It's the grand parade of lifeless packaging, Liv said, the thoughts slowly meandering their way through her several cerebral cortexes and up to her brain. Never mind that. Tonight, I'm going to conspire to buy all the galoshes in the world and then give them to Derek. Liv started barking at the moving escalator. Today's the day, Liv, I screamed, and she stopped barking. Tonight, I'm going to endear myself to Derek. We're going to get a major freak on. And then, I'm going to corner the market on galoshes. Yeah, look at you digress. I heard that from Liv as she started to self-emulate. Later, I'd have to extinguish her with the ass end of a four-iron. Raina, Greg, Mom called out, get your lame asses to the table. It's time to eat and listen to me dribble. Don't you need to go dabble in the galoshes markets? Raina asked as she bumped into me on the way to the escalator. I have no interest in galoshes, I said to Raina, raining down spit as I did. Then I'll just tell Mommy, she started to say until I gave her some licorice. Mom doesn't have to know how important galoshes are to me, I interrupted. I don't want her to worry or to have another subject to prattle on about at dinner. I'm going to tell Mom. having eaten the licorice, Reyna reverted to being, well, Reyna, that you're not that limp-wristed enough for the galoshes crowd. After the tear of dinner, I limp-wristed my way to my room. Later, I'd sashay... Wait, no, this is my favorite line. I have to do it. Later, I'd sashay my way to an encounter with Liv. Beneath the light from a moon that was leaning on Saturn, I faced the facile diversity. It came in the form of a female unicorn with vending machines instead of cerebral cortexes. I have devised a plan to rewrite the movie. My fucked up Greek wedding, the unicorn said robotically and through its mandibles. I'm sure I can make it even more, and the unicorn hesitated even more between words. Brazenness seemed to be asking a bit much. Later, Liv and I would try to stare down the unicorn's vending machines, trying to get our hands on its munitions. I recurringly ran into the street looking for Derek. Our love will finally be consummated tonight, I thought. And in case I was right, I brought along a case of Heineken and some calamari. In case I was wrong, I had a cover story. The beer was in case the government cracked down on alcohol. I'd have the Heineken market cornered. And actually, I still didn't have a calamari cover story. What I did have of a story involved banjos and also the red glare of rockets. Of course, I began nightmaring about a bris from hell, everyone castrated, aunts and uncles spazzing out. I was moving into my interior vault of horrors, and when that happens, back the fuck up. I can't be held responsible for the cold goo that was going to rain down, nor the veins in my neck that were going to pop out. The veins in my neck were intense. Even the trees would turn and run in horror. I began hearing the adenoids of boys kicking soccer balls, but I couldn't hear Derek's sinuses. Suddenly, we came up to Mrs. O'Connor's house. Liv suggested we take some decoupage and a tire iron to her windows. That's congenial, Liv. I'm serious. Let's go. I purred like a lapdog. I want to find Derek. I want to try my pickup lines on his monster jeans. I want to tie-dye his jeans and soul braid his hair. And I wanted to do a little more. I wanted to hear the rude sounds he made when my genitals were south of his border. I wanted to make rude noises myself and look back over my shoulder. I'd never done that before. It was one dime past midnight. It was time. I also wanted Liv to hear the sounds. Our ears would hear the sounds simultaneously, like we were riding the same motorcycle, like we were sitting on the same agitated washing machine. Are you going to second that emotion? Liv asked, her voice set on spin. I think. Yes, I was so sure. Can you set your voice to rinse? We entered the dragon. I could hear the voice of Bruce Lee. It shook me to my cornea. His voice passed over me and I heard it, only this time more faintly, more theoretically. Speaking of theory, the motorcycle that we weren't on had me by the gizzard, and I was starting to move, and there I was, salting the dog as best I could. It was great, and it was swell.
That's great.
Even the moon was rolling its red eyes and flexing its green mandibles. I opened its cucumber mouth and it spat a string of brilliantine saliva. Oh, fuck me, I screamed. The fucking moon just spat on my leather jacket. Fucking A, Liv. Nobody moved. Not the motorcycle, not the horizon, not even the moon. That was until salt started shaking down on us like air. That's a really good story.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Oh, fuck.